when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Daily Tech News Show is made possible by its listeners. Thanks to all of you, including Dr. X17, Dustin Campbell, and Tim Deputy. Coming up on DTNS, Apple gets a 10-year contract for all Major League Soccer matches, Adobe makes Photoshop free on the web, and Meta now offers a setting to garble the voices of strangers in Horizon Worlds. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, June 14th, 2022, Flag Day in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
Happy Flag Day. It's Judy Whitman. I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
And joining us, technology contributor to ABC News, author and host of The Tech John, Stephanie Opry.
Hey, well, there. Good. Is today really Flag Day?
It is, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, happy Flag Day. Whatever flag you
imagine
fly.
Imagine if Tom was like, no, it's not.
No, I just made that up.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, Flag Day is when Mike Claiborne, longtime St. Louis Cardinals broadcaster, says, start paying attention to the standings. Don't pay attention to baseball standings before Flag Day.
Wow, he uses Flag Day as a metric.
That's his, yeah, okay. That's awesome. His metric. So be like Mike Claiborne, I guess.
Quick right. Fun fact.
Yeah.
I live in a community right outside of Philadelphia called Yadin, Pennsylvania. And the creator of Arbor Day is from here.
Really? Oh.
I couldn't tell you his name, but we have a whole big citywide celebration nice. Every year for it. And yeah.
Oh, I'm glad to see that Arbor Day gets some love out there. That's good to
right.
know. Yeah. All right. Let's start off with a few tech things you should know.
Coinbase CEO Brian Armstrong announced that the company will lay off nearly 1,100 people, which is about 18% of its workforce. Coinbase quadrupled in size over the last 18 months. Laid off employees will lose access to company services and email immediately, but get a minimum of 14 weeks of severance pay with an additional 2 weeks for every year of employment. This might sound familiar to you because Coinbase is not the only company laying off people. Redfin and Compass also announced today layoffs of about 920 people collectively today, citing surging mortgage interest rates.
WhatsApp is adding a feature in beta that lets users move chat histories, contacts, and your other WhatsApp data from Android to iOS. No more losing your history if you switch phones. It'll be a part of Apple's Move to iOS tool. Data will be moved and encrypted and then made available when you authenticate in WhatsApp on the new iPhone. You'll also get the option to back up WhatsApp data to iCloud if you want.
Microsoft will end support for Internet Explorer on June 15th for most remaining versions of Windows that supported it, i.e. on the desktop will be disabled and replaced with Microsoft Edge. However, Windows 7 extended support, Windows 8.1, and all versions of Windows 10 long-term service client, IoT, and server will continue to make Internet Explorer available for the first for the time being. IE 11 will continue to get security patches for those platforms as well.
So it's not dead yet. Not, you know, just
it's mostly dead, Tom.
It's mostly dead. Yeah. Exactly. Battery company called Our Next Energy, or One, O-N-E, announced a partnership with BMW to bring its Gemini dual chemistry battery pack to a prototype BMW iX EV by the end of the year. One's battery will use two types of cells and is experimenting with different electrode chemistries to reduce the use of cobalt, nickel, graphite, and lithium. It may offer three different sizes, including a low-end version at the same cost as current nickel and cobalt-based batteries. But here's the clincher if it works. One thinks its battery can almost double the iX's range from 324 miles to more than 600.
Mozilla will make its total cookie protection feature on by default for desktop Firefox browser users. The feature keeps cookies isolated to the site on which they were created to prevent tracking, and the feature launched in 2021, but users had to turn it on at the time. Now, on by default.
All right. Let's talk a little more about what's going on at Adobe.
Yeah, cool stuff. Adobe made some announcements. Photoshop is getting a neural filter that can clean up old photos or photos that, I don't know, just need a little help removing scratches, restoring color, that sort of thing. Adobe Lightroom, which can adjust images, will get the ability to handle video for the first time. You can color grade footage and trim down the beginning and end on Lightroom if you use it.
Yeah, so the Lightroom thing is available in one version of Lightroom, but it's even more simplistic than this. So that's kind of nice. If you're a photographer who has a video clip, it's really not going to be useful for long versions of video. But that neural filter, that's cool for taking old photos that you... Roger was telling us before the show, like, you could do all of that stuff in Photoshop, but what's cool about this is mm-hmm. it's one button. You can just click it.
Yeah. I mean, I use Photoshop pretty regularly. I have certain things that I have to use it for, but I'm not great at it. I have my little tricks, but I probably use Photoshop like 15% of what it is capable of. Something like this is one of the things that I want to use it for the absolute most. So I can see a lot of people being happy about this.
Yeah, that's a super cool feature. The Lightroom thing, I thought that was like super niche. I was like, would anybody really need to do this? Like, for real, ever? I don't know why, like, with all the other tools available to do that kind of thing, like, you know, why are we adding that feature to Lightroom? I don't know.
I'm gonna give it a go. You're a photographer who does a lot of TikTok.
Could be.
Yeah, which doesn't disprove the fact that that's very niche, even if that were it. We got another big one here. Adobe is testing a free web-based version of Photoshop in Canada with intentions to open it up to everybody. But right now, Canadians get it. Adobe says the service is intended to be a freemium service at some point, but the core features will always be available for free to try out. More sophisticated features will eventually go behind the paywall. Adobe launched the web version of Photoshop back in October, but it's only been for subscribers up till now. It offers basic edit tools. It offers layers. They've been adding more features to it as they go, but Adobe is pitching it as being more than just a collaboration tool. When they first launched it, they said, this is for making small tweaks and annotations if you're sharing photos with each other. But it looks like they're now saying, we want it to be an entryway. We want people to try Photoshop for free on the web. You could use it on a Chromebook, for instance, and then want to use it more and maybe eventually become a paying customer.
Yeah. I mean, as somebody who I paid $10 a month for Photoshop on Creative Cloud. And I feel that it's worth it because it's a very robust tool, even though I'm not that great at Photoshop. This is, you know, for my first reaction was like, why does Canada get everything first? My second was like, okay, well, what exactly does Photoshop offer that I'm not using right now that is free, fully free? Where I would say, okay, let me pay for this, you know, because I like it so much and I'm using, you know, certain tools that they're going to keep me back from on the free version.
And see, I just, you know, I have such a disdain for the entire freemium model. I mean, I know, you know, this is capitalism, but it always feels like bait and switch to me where you're getting people invested in using this particular tool under the auspices of it being free. And then, you know, flipping that switch when they need it the most. And I think people that can pay for software kind of already do for the most part. And you would just be, I think, hamstringing some people that actually could benefit from a truly free version of the software.
Yeah, it depends on how they do it, right? And I guess that's part of the Canadian test is for us as consumers to be able to see that too. So Canadians, let us know. I think if it works like a free trial where it's like, this is how it works. If you like it and you suddenly are like, oh, I want to get more advanced, then paying for it, that seems fair to me. Like it's free yeah. Free to use basically. But if you're becoming an advanced user, then, you know, go ahead and kick us a few bucks. If it's more like you're talking about, Stephanie, where it's like, oh, you could use it for a, you know, for a couple of things, but you won't be able to finish them because you're missing an essential thing. Then yeah, that's not cool. I don't like that either.
And as much as, you know, that whole suite cost as is, it's just like, dude, like, what are you doing here? How much is this even going to cost? Like, why even bother? Just let this be the one altruistic thing you do, Adobe. Seriously.
Well, in entertainment news, if you like soccer, Apple and Major League Soccer, or MLS, announced a 10-year broadcasting deal that makes the Apple TV app the home of all MLS matches. MLS Commissioner Don Garber said Tuesday that the league has the youngest, the most diverse, the most digitally native fans anywhere in the world. Some matches will be freely available to anybody with the Apple TV app, while the rest, including the MLS and Leagues Cup, will be part of Apple TV Plus, which is $4.99 per month.
Yeah, there's some interesting things about this. It's a global deal, so they're getting the rights worldwide, which is different than how sports leagues typically sell broadcast or streaming rights. They usually go country by country, region by region. MLS will also be allowed, and in fact, Apple isn't being encouraged, according to Eddie Q, Apple's encouraged this, MLS will strike deals to simulcast matches on linear TV. My guess is they'll probably do this in local markets to say, oh, your local regional sports network or maybe your local broadcast channel will be able to show a match even if it is on Apple TV. So there won't be blackouts on this for select matches. Apple's Eddie Q also said the deal is a huge opportunity for both of us because it's a partnership. It's not a rights deal. I don't know. It sounds like a rights deal to me.
It sounds exactly like a rights deal.
Exactly, right? I'm like, what's the definition of a rights deal? Yeah. This is interesting. When I read this, the first thing I thought about was that whole thing that Saudi Arabia is doing with some of the professional golfers here in the United States that had to leave the PGA to play in that LIV tournament. I don't know if it's LIV or LIV or if those are Roman numerals. But it kind of reminded me of that and the idea that, you know, these major sports organizations are kind of, you know, up to the highest bidder basically at this point. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that, but it just, I don't know. It just made me question a little bit the motivations, from the MLS. I know why Apple would want this to happen, but, you know, it's like now people won't be able to see some of the matches and it kind of, you know, ruins that experience for those folks.
Well, but why won't they be able to see the matches?
Well, the ones that get behind the Apple TV Plus.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they'll be limited in some way.
Like there will be a lot of free ones, but not all of them will be free. Some of them will be $5 a month. But I don't
unlike
know
how sports viewing has gone up until this day.
I was going to say, I don't think that's that much. I don't know that that's that much different than what we get now, where you have to pay a cable subscription that sometimes is a lot more in order to get just a limited number. This is, you're paying $5 a month for Apple TV Plus, which gives you all of Apple TV Plus and gives you access to the MLS stuff. And they're not blacking out local broadcasts. So it's possible you might get some local broadcast available without even having to have Apple TV. I mean, I get what you're saying, Stephanie, but I feel like compared to where we are now, it's still probably an improvement.
Maybe I wonder about how this plays out everywhere else around the world where soccer's way more popular, you know, and what type of access do Europeans and you know, everybody else have to the games in general, and will they be impacted? I don't
supposedly know. It's $5 a month wherever you live in the world. If you can get Apple TV, you can get it.
No, I mean, like, what's their status now? Like, how much access do they have to the games now?
This is our league, the U.S. league. They probably have to pay a lot. They probably have to pay some specialty provider. So I would think this would bring it down if they're even interested, because they have better soccer over there anyway.
Yeah, a friend of mine who is much more into soccer than me, I asked him about this morning, and he was like, this is amazing. But this is also something that he doesn't have to discover because he already has an Apple TV. Mm-hmm. He's familiar with Apple TV Plus. If you care about a sport enough to, you know, figure it out, you're going to figure it out.
You're going to figure it out. Yeah. But I guess, you know, this is kind of similar to what the NFL did with Prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they where they did the Thursday night games on Amazon Prime Video, and now that's the only way you can get them is Amazon Prime Video. Yeah, I think one of the objections I'll expect to hear people say is like, well, I don't have an Apple device. And it's worth pointing out, if you don't already know this, that the Apple TV app is available on the web. It's on Roku, Fire TV, Google TV, Samsung, LG, Sony, Vizio, Panasonic, Hisense, PlayStation, Xbox. It's even available on cable boxes from Xfinity and Sky and Free and BTV. So it's available if you want to install it and you've got one of those devices. All right. U.S. and Food and Drug Administration has cleared a company called Rune Labs to offer software called Strive PD. This tracks the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. So it uses Apple's movement disorder API and an Apple Watch with the Apple Watch sensors to track things like tremors, which is one of the main symptoms of Parkinson's. And it also lets patients add symptom reports and medication usage on their own. Strive PD is meant to let clinicians track a patient's progress and monitor changes. So this is through your doctor. This is not like an app you download and pay a subscription for. It provides a better look than patient recall and can be used to fine-tune medications. It will also help enroll patients in clinical trials to develop new treatments and bring those to the market more quickly. Rune Labs is not the only company working on this sort of thing with the Apple Watch. The Verge notes a company called Cerebellia is also developing an app related to Parkinson's as well. But what perked my ears up about this is it's a service going to the doctors that treat this to help them rather than a service trying to get you to pay $5 a month to maybe come up with useful data that then they'll leak out on the internet anyway. So they're not doing that last thing is what I'm pointing out. I think this is good. I think this is significant. It's interesting.
Now this is super cool. I was just thinking that, you know, I hope there is a way or someone could figure out a way to get Apple Watches into the hands of folks in low-income communities that have Parkinson's. Cause I mean, you know, this is wonderful. And there's already an app. I believe there's already an app that does this for on the smartphone, but if there was some way to do some sort of partnership to get more Apple Watches into more hands so that they could take advantage of the software, that'd be great.
Especially as these kinds of devices get used for more of these kinds of things, and not even just the Apple Watch. You can work for Fitbits and other devices from Samsung and others too, to be able to say, hey, this is going to be able to help health in general. Let's make it available. Let's figure out how to get it into people's hands, like you're saying. I think that's great.
Yeah, sometimes it kind of becomes a conversation of like, well, yeah, everybody with Parkinson's disease would love to have an Apple Watch, but you know, how many actually have them? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've got, you know, I have another friend story. A friend of mine's mother has Parkinson's, and I sent her this article this morning. I said, "Does your mom know about this?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, yeah, she's on the list." So, I think I think this is somewhat slow going because, the Food and Drug Administration saying, okay, we're good with Strive, but Strive has to then say, okay, we're good with you, patient.
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, you have all the, you know, the symptoms that are necessary for this to work, is, you know, there's some moving parts here.
Yeah. But, no, that's a really good point. The news here is the FDA approval. That doesn't mean magically it appears on everybody. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, folks, if you're feeling social, get in touch with us. The DTNS audience is available, or we are available to the DTNS audience, I should say, on DTNS Show on Twitter and DTNS Pix, P-I-X, on Instagram.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Well, Meta is introducing some new features for its VR products. VR enthusiasts, listen up. VR safety tools announced in March are now rolling out to the Oculus app. A dashboard lets parents and guardians see a teen's list of friends, list of apps, blocked apps on the account. Parents can also see headset time and get alerts when apps are purchased. So more or less just, you know, making sure that they know what the teens are doing on VR. Teens can also request permission to buy age-restricted apps.
So before we get to the other aspect here, which is that Horizon Worlds thing I teased at the top of the show, this feels unremarkable. Is there anything of note here? Stephanie, I know you follow this space pretty closely. Like it just feels like kind of minimum expected stuff for parental
It is
controls.
The bare minimum, yeah. Unfortunately. But when you hadn't done the bare minimum, you know, stepping up to that, I guess, feels like progress to folks.
It's better than nothing.
It's yeah. Funny. The part about the parental controls have to be initiated through the teen's account, I think, is still lagging behind what most of the other platforms do, with the exception of Instagram. They were mentioned in this article as well. They just flipped it so that the parents can actually send a teen a request and say, hey, you have to, you know, you got to let me get access to your phone to get these parental controls in place. So we'll see if they do something similar to that for the Oculus. But yeah, I don't know why Meta wants to take these baby steps as it relates to how parents can parent their kids and their devices.
All right, let's talk about go ahead, Sarah. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say it's probably because Oculus has become so popular, especially with young people, that the company was like, we didn't really think about that.
They never do.
We should probably make sure that, you know, teens are a little bit safer than they have been in the past.
They never do.
All right. Meta's Horizon Worlds VR chat app is launching in the UK, adding that to Canada and the US, and getting new options for voice chat. Right now, voice chat is on by default. That's not changing. You might be like, oh, yeah, they need to turn that off. No, it's still on by default when you enter Horizon Worlds. But you're getting a new setting called voice mode over the next few weeks that will let you disable that. So you can say, I don't want to hear anybody talking to me unless they're my friend that I've approved. I don't want to hear them. Or even, I think, more interesting, you'll have an option called garble voices from strangers. Garble voices lets you know a person is talking by playing what Meta describes as unintelligible friendly sounds. We can all do our version of that later. And then if you want to hear what that person is saying, you can raise a hand to your avatar's ear to temporarily hear them without having to add them as a friend, and then decide if you want to have a conversation, I guess. When garble mode is on, an icon will appear above your avatar of an ear crossed out to indicate that you're unable to hear people. I assume that happens if you've disabled it altogether as well. But I don't know. Garble.
Well, here's what, and Stephanie, I don't know how much VR you're doing on a daily basis. I play a lot of VR exercise games. I'm not in Horizon Worlds, but I know what it is. And I know it's a, you know, it's a way for people to meet friends all over the world, just like any other place on the internet, right? It's just a VR version of that. The unintelligible friendly sounds from somebody who might not actually be friendly towards me is kind of, it's an interesting choice.
It is. It is. I'm like, what is that even? Like, I just, you know, the idea that, and even the idea that you would raise your hand to speak, I feel like, you know, the realist in me, Tom, am already thinking through ways to abuse this, uh-huh, this feature. Because, you know, you could have two people sort of tag teaming someone, you know, you raise the hand to listen to one think that they're going to say something, you know, normal, when this other person now, you know, starts shouting and yelling and screaming at you. That was the thing. I was like, you know, you should be able to do that individually. If you're going to be able to do it at all, you should be able to do it individually with the people that you're not friends with. Like, it seems like if you have the garble on, everybody you're not friends with is garbled. So I think you should be able to kind of toggle that on without having to raise the hand, just because there may be someone you want to speak to, but there may be somebody you don't want to speak to in the same room at the same time. And you're going to, you know, I could just see that going left very, very quickly.
Yeah, I agree with you. There should be an unmute setting for individuals in a particular chat room that you're like, I don't want to go so far as to put them on my friends list permanently. And every time I run into them, but I've raised my hand. I found out that, you know, they're not crazy and they're saying interesting things. But I don't have to keep my hand up to listen to them either. So yeah, it would be nice if there was a middle ground. It's an interesting way to solve a problem of, because I assume if you turn it off entirely, it's like you just don't know they're talking, right? You wouldn't have any indication. So this is a way to let you know, like, hey, people are saying something to you. You can decide if you want to take the risk of listening or not.
And that seems like it would be distracting, too.
Go ahead.
You're just hearing garbled.
But it's friendly.
But it's friendly garble. There you go.
I mean, a lot of this, when I, you know, at first I was like, what are they doing? And then I was like, you know, this isn't unlike what social networks have been trying to solve for many, many years now. Is, okay, you know, is somebody my friend? Great. You know, we talk back and forth. Maybe I don't want to add them as a friend, but they can DM me. Maybe they can't do either of those things. And that is just the VR world we're in now.
Yeah. I'm imagining it like Simlish. Some kind of, you know, these poor words, bring this crap. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but very friendly.
I'm going to have to try this out.
But friendly. Friendly garbling. Yeah, y'all going to make me put my VR headset on later on just to hear some friendly garbling.
You know, same. Now I have to see. I have to see how it works. Everybody send me
friendly. We're going to start unfriending each other just so we can hear garbling.
Unintelligible stuff. Send it to me. Well, something that you also might be interested in is a company called Modos, based out of Boston, developing something called the Paper Laptop, which has a black and white electronic paper display. You might say, what is that? Well, it's like e-ink. It's like a Kindle. The team says that great battery life, less eye fatigue, and better visibility in bright sunlight is its goal, because the majority of laptop users really are using their devices for things like email, spreadsheets, word processing, and other text-focused tasks, not really, you know, rich stuff, where e-paper obviously excels and the battery life is really good too. Web browsing will obviously be different without a full-color screen, but Modus has done work on an e-paper monitor that can achieve 60 frames per second refresh rates, making scrolling web pages and full-speed video playback very smooth.
Yeah, this is still in the development phase, but that video they showed of the prototype was pretty impressive to me. If you're like they played video, they're like, well, we're working on dithering and grayscale right now, so it doesn't look great, but it worked. Like the refresh rate was enough that it actually worked. And the other thing I thought was fancy about it is it could just scroll and do forms and pretty much all the things I use my Chromebook for, it could do, and it's going to have like a month-long battery life because it's an e-ink screen. I signed up for the survey. I was like, all right, I want to find out more about this.
Like, I'm into it. I'd be curious what the specs of the laptop are going to be. Did they say that anywhere in there?
No, because they're still just developing the display technologies.
That's going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, is this different than a reader with a keyboard attached to it? Like, could you fashion this out of a Kindle, like, currently?
No, because the refresh rate is abysmal on a Kindle. Yeah. That's their secret sauce, right?
Okay, well, it could be a thing. I was pleased to hear them talk about the idea of this being a way to distract you, because grayscaling your phone is mm-hmm. largely agreed as a mm-hmm. way to not use your phone so much. So I like that they put that in there, because I think that's probably going to be an actual significant selling feature for this thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you don't need to play video games, you know, this could be the thing.
Well, I think a lot of us, myself included, you know, when I first read the story this morning, I was like, what? No, a laptop that doesn't have color. But how many things do I really need that for? Sure. Rich video, definitely so. Even though video is working on the Modus laptop, the paper laptop, but most of my day-to-day things are, you know, task-oriented work stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that, especially if you're, I don't know who's doing a lot of traveling these days, but as the world sort of comes back to life, I think that, you know, this starts to be really attractive to folks who are, you know, on the go. And yeah, the battery life in particular is a big selling point.
All right, let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. This one comes from Josh. Josh says, thought it was interesting. He's talking about yesterday's show that Rich mentioned that authors could put notation on each word so that an audiobook AI could read the words and then place emphasis where the author desired. Reminded me of any kid who's had to learn to chant from the Torah and the notations on each word that teach you the appropriate musical notes. It's called trope, a 4,000-year-old solution to a modern problem.
Hey, so sometimes the old ways are best, right, Josh?
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? There is nothing new under the sun.
That's great. And then Bodhi, host of the Kilowatt podcast, wrote in and said, hey, if you're interested in an affordable electric vehicle with solar panels, because we were talking about the big expensive one yesterday that's coming from, who was it? Oh man, I'm blanking on the name suddenly, but yeah, we were talking about the big expensive one that's coming. That's like 200,000 euros. Bodhi says, how about the Aptera, APTERA? It's a 2-seater, 3-wheeled vehicle with solar panels. It's not quite an apples to apples comparison. In some states, it's classified as a motorcycle. The Lightyear, thank you, Bodhi. The Lightyear Zero is got a big price difference. The base model of the Aptera starts at $25,900 for 250 miles. The maxed out Aptera claims a range of 1,000 miles. And with all the options, it would cost you $50,700, which is still a quarter of the price of the Lightyear Zero. Production of the Aptera should begin soon, if it hasn't already.
Is there a top speed on that thing? Because that thing looks pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's a 2-seater, right? So this is not high capacity. But yeah, it looks like the, you know, it at least can get 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3.5 seconds. So
All right.
That's decent.
Well, thank you to Bodhi, thank you to Josh, and thank you to everybody who writes in with questions, comments, feedback, all the things. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com is where to direct your email our way. Thank you in advance. We love your feedback. Also, thanks to Stephanie Humphrey for being with us today. Stephanie, where can people keep up with what you've been up to?
They can follow me all around the web at TechLifeSteph. You can check out my website at TillDeathYouTweet.com. And of course, please listen and download the Tech John at the TechJohn, JAWN.com.
Yeah. If for no other reason to get Rob Dunwood's secret basketball name.
That's right.
He has a secret basketball name?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He does.
Gosh. Now I'm clearly behind on my episodes. No, the Tech John's awesome. And so are you, Stephanie. Thank you for being with us. Also, thanks to our brand new boss, whose name is Jason.
Yay!
Jason just started backing us on Patreon. Thank you, Jason.
Jason, you're the best. You could be the next Jason. Are. Just back us at patreon.com/DTNS.
Fanfare is yours tomorrow. if you want it. There's a longer version of the show called Good Day Internet. We roll right into it as we wrap up DTNS, available at patreon.com/DTNS. Just a reminder, we do the show live Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, 2000 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. Join us live if you can. We'd love to have you. And we'll be back doing it all again tomorrow with Scott Johnson joining us. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.